Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. Purport. The difference between self-realization and material illusion is to know that the temporary or illusionary impositions of the material energy in the shape of gross and subtle bodies are superficial coverings of the self. The covering take place due to ignorance. Such coverings are never effective in the person of the personality of Godhead. Knowing this convincingly is called liberation or seeing the absolute. This means that perfect self-realization is made possible by adoption of godly or spiritual life. Self-realization means being indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. The impetus for activities is generated from the self, but such activities become illusory due to the ignorance of the real position of the self. By ignorance, self-interest is calculated in terms of gross and subtle bodies, and therefore a whole set of activities is spoiled life after life. I'll repeat this. By ignorance, self-interest is calculated in the terms of the gross and the subtle bodies, and therefore a whole set of activities is spoiled life after life. When, however, one meets the proper self by proper culture, the activities of the self begin. Therefore, a man who is engaged in the activities of the self is called Jivan Mukta, or the liberated person even in the conditional existence. This perfect stage of self-realization is attained not by artificial means, but under the lotus feet of the Lord, who is always transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is present in everybody's heart, and from Him only all knowledge, remembrance or forgetfulness takes place. When the living being desires to be an enjoyer of material energy, illusory phenomena, the Lord covers the living being in the mystery of forgetfulness. And thus, living being misinterprets the gross body and subtle mind to be his own self. And by culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, the Lord, by his causeless mercy, removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self. He then engages himself in the service of Lord and his eternal constitutional position, becoming liberated from the conditioned life. All this is executed by the Lord either through his external potency or directly by his internal potency. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So this class is dedicated, and it's a prayer and petition to the to Sri Radha Gokulan for our very favorite, the health of very favorite, His Grace Shri Dharma Prabhu. Shri Dharma Prabhu ki. Okay. So we are going to try and bring this verse in the context of what's happened so far. That'll be the first point. Then we'll speak something about the verse itself, and as I always try to do, is to what it means to me. And it is a very auspicious day. It's the 1001st anniversary of the appearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. So we might speak a few words at the end today. As you know, the sages of Naimisharanya had gathered, and after the 1,000 years of doing the Yajna, they had the piety enough so that Suta Goswami came and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And the first thing they asked is the 6 questions. And that's how the Bhagavatam starts. 6 questions. And that 6 questions, sages didn't ask for themselves, but asked for us. And Suta Goswami starts answering them. And he comes to the the fifth question, which he is talking about in this chapter about the incarnations of the Lord. And we have heard in the previous verses the 22 incarnations of the Lord. And now Sutta Goswami is coming to this to the point of this verse about how to realize the Lord, how to realize the own entity, own self. And he is talking about in this verse. So why are we fearful? I would want to ask you this. Why are we fearful? We are always in fear. Why are we afraid? Now you can say, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid of this. But if really boils down to is that we are in anxiety. And what are we in anxiety of? This anxiety is the gift of Kali to us. If we are in the material world, and especially if we are in the Kali Yuga, we have to be in anxiety. Why? Because we are in the fear of losing. Now, you might self-introspect. You might be in fear of losing your possession, your family, your near and dear ones. Somebody might be attached to their car, the house. So it all comes down to fear of losing something. And that produces the anxiety. If you did not have anything in this world, you could not lose anything. Hence you'll be fearless. So the anxiety or the kuntha, which is as opposed to Vaikuntha, where there's no anxiety, in this world the anxiety comes for fear of losing. And what's the ultimate fear? I'm not talking of devotees, I'm talking of people outside. What is the ultimate fear? The ultimate fear is death, losing of life. That's the ultimate fear. And why? Because that brings to the biggest illusion. And the illusion is that I am this body. Now, in this verse we are talking about the self-realization. We are talking about the self. And what is self? What does self actually mean? So, you can say it is our identity. It is our swabhav, nature. It is our relationship. Relationship with whom? Relationship with the Supreme. It is our eternal position, Nitya Krishna Das. So that's self. Now, when you talk about yourself, you always talk about yourself in relation to something else. So if there's a man, why is there a man? Because there's a woman. So there's always a comparison. So when it really comes down to the self, it has to be compared to something else. Self in itself means nothing. So self can only mean something if it is related to something or compared to something. And the self is compared to the Supreme. Now, we start, when we come to Krishna consciousness, as I am still neophyte, we start off by reading Bhagavad Gita. And the Lord starts speaking in chapter 2. Now, how basic can it get when he talks about the self? When he talks about the soul, he talks about the real identity. We start with that. A lot of us don't even progress beyond that. But at least when we talk about, when we hear that, we read after that, we go after the undergraduate study, we do the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam and then CC. But at least the basic is the chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. That's self. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 5th canto, the 15th chapter, the 4th verse, King Pratiha personally propagated the principles of self-realization. In this way, not only he was purified, but he became a great devotee of the Supreme Person, Lord Vishnu, and directly realized him. I'm speaking about this verse, saying this verse right now, is because a lot of us are interested in the phal. A lot of interest in why should we do that? What is in it for me? So I've spoken right now, straight away, what is in it for me? That by realizing ourselves, by having the realization of self-realization, we not only become purified, we become a great devotee of the Lord, as we are talking of Kring Pratiha. So, we often see that when we, and I can only talk about a particular operation I do. If I learn an operation wrongly, and I keep practicing it the way, the results may be good, but if I'm doing the wrong steps, and I keep doing the wrong steps, it becomes a habit. So it becomes the mistake repeated again and again becomes a reality for me. So if we were to get into the illusion of Maya, and if we were to say that we are this body, as a lot of us, despite reading the second chapter, despite reading the whole Bhagavad Gita, despite reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we still relate to our body. If we keep relating to our body, it becomes a self-perpetuating mistake. And that's how we identify as self. So if we practice a mistake that we keep relating to the body, we keep doing that. Now we may say, or at least I'm talking about myself, we may say that this understanding is very clear to us, that we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. But are we really understanding that? And I really want you to have a think, that a lot of us, at least partly, we do not believe that's true. Or if we believe it, we get illusioned. So, I was reading about this, I'll have to open these words of a self-styled guru who's very famous apparently. And this is Anthony Guicardi. And this is a materialist talking about, and I'll put it into context of what we are saying. He says, the most powerful lessons I've learned in life is to never act like someone you're not. Why? Not only will people know that you're being fake, but you are also fooling yourself by thinking that the real you is not good enough. Now, this is a materialist saying about not identifying yourself with whom you are not. And what is the biggest illusion? Come on. The biggest illusion is that we are this body. We are identifying this body. How can we not mistake this illusion? So, how to realize the self? And one may ask the next question that we have talked about, who is the self? We are the self. Now, before I go to that, just in reference to the second chapter, the Lord says in the 17th verse of the second chapter, and you might say, what is the proof? We are talking about self, we are talking about we being the soul and not the material body. So the Lord says, that which pervades the entire body you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy the imperishable soul. In the 18th verse, Lord says, the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Fight, O descendant of Bharata. And in the 22nd verse, he says, as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Do we need any more proof? Lord is making it so clear to us. Now, if we get up every morning and just remember these few verses, we are probably going to be coming out of the illusions. And then the Lord says that, O best among the Arjun, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So that is the fall. If we do that, if we have the self-realization, this is the fall. So, how to realize the self? So I thought there would be, as you usually put it in points, the first is that we should have a desire. If we are quite happy as we are in this material world, we are happy to relate. We are saying, what's the problem? I'm happy. I've got a family. I've got a lovely house. I've got a car. I've got a job. Why do I want to proceed any further? Well, if we don't have the desire, then that's a bad start. But as devotees, I sincerely hope and pray that we have the desire. So first is the desire. And of course, when we have the desire, which is a sincere desire, there is this Krishna factor. And we know this Krishna factor too well in our lives. He reciprocates. We talk about the causeless mercy. The more intense the desire, the more genuine the desire is, the more is the reciprocation. So that's the first part. Obviously, then you have to perform some activity. So that's the process of bhakti. And in the process of bhakti, there's the association and activity. And the association of, we talk about association of the pure devotee or the Uttamadhikari or Mahatma. And I'm going to pause here for a minute and take you on a detour. And the reason I'm going to take you on a detour is because I was not in a great frame of mind for what's happened the last 4 weeks to come and speak something, but I was asked to dedicate this class to our closest friend, Shridhar Mahaprabhu's health. And a lot of you have been asking me, what, why? when, how. And obviously I'm going to be as discreet as possible, but just going to share with you my realization in the last month. And my biggest realization is that, and I'm talking about myself, I'm sure everybody else here and everybody else who's listening is far more elevated. Often we do not appreciate as much the presence of Mahatmas between us. We think we do, but we often don't. When that position is challenged, then comes the realization that what that person, what that Mahatma, what his words mean to us. So this all started about 4 weeks ago with completely randomly requesting a scan, which the whole world is asking me, why did I do it? Well, there's a Krishna factor, there's a super soul in the heart, and I have no answers for that. And that role, that set a cascade of events which really I could never ever imagine even a couple of months ago. And a completely normal person going through, then within 2 weeks, we, with Krishna's mercy, we got all the investigations done and obviously reached a diagnosis, and now we are on the road of treatment. But living through that 3 or 4 weeks, one realizes that Krishna puts you into a situation for a reason. You and I may not be wanting to be there. At one point, I didn't want to be a doctor. I just wanted to be his friend and just, you know, drive in, as a passenger in the bus. But as Shri Ram Maharaj said, that every one of us has been placed into a situation for a particular reason. And I was then thinking that why is this all happening, as you all are thinking? And I think it's happening because we have the chance to glorify that person. We have the chance to reassess our feelings, reassess our appreciation. And actually triggered by his, something he said in the family meeting, I started this, tried to start this campaign. And I know how many of you have, must have got through the social media about chanting one extra round for him. And the reason is that we have to all participate in what, how we are doing, what we're doing for him. And the reason I'm mentioning this to you here today is that that round is my best round every single day. Why? Because I'm doing it for him. Can I have a show of hands who have received that text about chanting the extra round? My goodness, social media is really powerful. So, what is this Mahatma doing to us? He is bringing us closer to Krishna than what I was a month ago. Just by, not only by, when we talk about association, we take it too lightly. We are there with him, we are there with others. But what is his effect? His effect is always trying to bring us close to Krishna. So when we were talking about this self-realization, I've come back from the detour now, and coming back to the process of bhakti and proper process of association. Association simply doesn't mean being with that person. Association means appreciating that person. Association means understanding how this person is attempting to bring us close to Krishna. And then reciprocating that person's effort. There are so many senior devotees in this room and listening, and I would just request that please all of us, with Radha Gokulan's blessing, have one mission in mind. We have to put the petition to the Lord. And there is no way that he would not listen. So let's do this again every single day in whatever way we can, an extra round or a few extra rounds or whichever way we want to pray, let's do that. So that was about the process of trying to achieve self-realization. And all this is clearing this layers of ignorance. So the process for me is very simple. Obviously science can't explain it, but the process was very simple. We are the spirit soul. We were there in the spiritual world with a spiritual body, having a great time, but had the desire. We had the desire to enjoy on our own. So Lord created this material world and sent us down. Bad bargain. Bad bargain, bad decision. But we have to make the best of it. When we came down, we met with these three gentlemen, or three gentle ladies, the modes of material nature, and they started to grab us. So we started getting affected and more affected and more affected, and then this is all the conditioning of the multiple lifetimes that we have been through, and finally, with mercy of the Lord, of the devotees, we have finally come into Krishna consciousness, and that's the only way out. So we are here, and then we have to realize that no, this is not the true self, so we have to go back to our... And then we have to progress. So just being in Krishna consciousness and being that we are a devotee is not good enough. In fact, stalemate is not an option. When I mentioned last time in my class, and I got so much feedback about the house on fire, and I still say the same thing. Our house is on fire. It's an emergency. Krishna consciousness is not a luxury. It's an emergency. It's an emergency because we do not know what's in store for us. As we have recently seen, no idea what's happening tomorrow. The quicker we can get serious, this is all I'm talking for myself, quicker we can get serious and more serious, time is short. And then finally we talk about the achievement of the goal. So the achievement of goal is very obvious. We talked about the full stuti, about doing the self-realization, that we can have the liberation in whatever form we find it true, and also then we can become a pure devotee. Lord, in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th verse, says that fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme Lord of all that be. So it is the illusion, it is the Maya. Even we face this all the time, that does the God exist? So hence we know that it is very powerful. But in the 13th verse, Lord says that, O son of Pratha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of divine nature. So we are now talking, again going into the phal, the fruit of self-realization. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So once we realize who we are, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the class, realizing who we are is incomplete unless we realize who we are in relation to the Supreme. So once we realize who we are, then we realize who the Supreme is, and the job is done. Simple as that. Job is done. But then the Maya would attack next day. Back to the mobile phone goes on. You're back to your real world. And that's what we need the association of devotees for, is to keep reminding us that the mobile phone can stop. The work can stop. But the realization should not stop. So these were some thoughts about... the verse itself, and I'm aware of the time, and I know that there's a very important task I have to fulfill, is to say a few words about Sri Ramanujacharya. He is the principal acharya of Sri Sampradaya. So this is the 1001st anniversary of his appearance. So he appeared in 1017. Now, When the religion, and there's a background to this, and I'm just going to bring this forward and we'll stop wherever when the time stops. So when the religion of the Vedas became weakened at one point, because the influence of the so-called intelligent men, although we know that they were less intelligent, those Brahmanas at that time, were performing all these ritualistic ceremonies for their benefit, and they were using Vedas for indiscriminately for their benefit. Lord appeared as Buddha, and he appeared on the scene as a great reformer. So he rejected the whole Vedic literature, he rejected all the previous scene, and substituted his rational atheistic views in the path of Ahimsa, which is the non-violence, and Nirvana. So that was the clearance of Veda from that aspect, so that Brahmana's role was terminated. But then obviously soon after, the philosophy of Shankaracharya came to overpower the Buddhism. And the and Shankaracharya's weapon to fight the Buddhist doctrine was he proposed the doctrine of non-dualism, which is the Advaita Vedanta. Non-dualism means that the living entities were on the equal level with God. And that was Shankaracharya's doctrine. Obviously, we know that his doctrines are not wholly theistics, but they are not atheistic. So that's, we are moving more towards theism now. The unveiling of the ultimate reality was then destined through Srila Ramanujacharya. So he was born in 1017 AD, and his parents were Asuri Keshav and Kanti Mati, and they were both from aristocratic families. So he lived in Sri Perumbudur, which is a village, up to the age of 16. He got married to Rakshambai. And after 4 months of his marriage, his father became very seriously ill, and he left his body. So Ramanujacharya became the, Ramanuj that time became the head of the family and decided to move to Kanchi. Now Kanchi was a city was very famed with scholars and magnificent temples. So there lived a scholar named Yadav Prakash, and I feel so humble in saying all this, because you know much more than these things, but I'm just repeating because the day of the appearance day. So Yadav Prakash, he was a great scholar, but he was a scholar of the Shankaracharya doctrine and proposing the Advaita Vedanta, which is the non-dualism. And he was very, very convincing. And as we know, impersonalism is very convincing. Even today, it is very convincing. So he was very convincing and he was very scholarly, and there's no doubt that he actually seriously believed in it, what he propagated. So Ramanujacharya became one of his students, and because he was so intelligent, he became one of his favorite students. So one day when Yadav Prakash had just delivered a discourse on Chandogya Upanishad, he asked Ramanuja to massage him with the oil. And when he was doing that, one of the students came running and he said, I failed to grasp the meaning of the seventh verse of the first chapter, which began with Tasya Vatha Kapasam Pundrikam Evam Akshini. And so Yadav proceeded to give an interpretation that sublime qualities of Godhead in a manner which were very objectionable. And hearing that, Ramanujacharya became very saddened in his heart, and the tears started coming out of his eyes. And these hot tears then fell on Yadav Prakash. And he realized that something is wrong with this boy. So he said, What's the problem? Shri Shri Radha Gopalanam ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Pramande. So he said, what's the problem, young boy? So he said, oh great and wise master, I'm sorely affected in my heart because this explanation doesn't fit a noble soul like you. So Yadav got very angry. He said, okay, you know better. Then what is your explanation? So he gave this beautiful explanation that the two eyes of the Supreme are as lovely as the two lotuses that are blossomed by the rays of sun. And that was the beautiful meaning in a personal sense. So Yadav said to him, you speak though as you think that Supreme Person is a person. This is your childish ignorance. And he was quietened by that. And then soon later, there was a second incident when he was explaining a verse from Taittiriya Upanishad. And it was beginning with Satyam Janam Anantam Brahma. And Yadav said that Brahman was intelligence, truth and infinite. And Ramanuj politely added that he is not only his intelligence, truth and infinite, but he is actually never untruthful, and his energies are unlimited, not limited. And he said, the Supreme Brahman is the reservoir of all good qualities, yet he is superior to those qualities as the sun globe is superior to sunlight. So this time, Yadav Prakash just lost it. He said, you young fool, you get out of here. If you think that you are so smart, why don't you start your own school? And that's exactly what happened, that he started a school, and obviously it became very, very famous and prominent, and his philosophy is known as Vishishta Advaita, or qualified non-dualism. And he, according to him, the living entities are believed to be qualitatively one with the Supreme and quantitatively different. And he continued to explain this he rejected the theory of Shankaracharya and promoted the personalism of the Lord. So Vishishta Advaita. Now, he presented the living entity's relationship with God as being one of eternal service. And that's where Mahaprabhu says that he has taken two aspects. One is unalloyed devotion, and one is the service to the devotees from Ramanujacharya. So he propagated this relationship with the Godhead, and that talks about our verse today about the self-realization, that it is the relationship is the one being of eternal service. And according to Ramanujacharya, when the living entities are freed from this illusion produced by the material energy, that's the method of devotion, nature, love of God. And that's like the dealings between an affectionate servant and master. Then the soul enters the spiritual sky known as Vaikuntha. And that's what we believe. That's what we believe. So it came to a point that Yadav Prakash was getting very upset because his school was shrinking and Ramanujacharya's school was becoming bigger and bigger. So he devised a plan to kill him. So what happened was that they, an action saying that, okay, we'll just go and worship the sacred river Ganges, they made a plan, and they took and said, yeah, his disciples said to Ramanujacharya, why don't you come along with us? But he said, I want my cousin Govinda to accompany me. So they went along, and Govinda was made to share this details about the plan in confidence. And Govinda told Ramanuja, just please run away from here, go by the route of the forest. And obviously Ramanuja could not find the route back to Kachi. And then he came to a lake where an elderly couple, a man and a woman, were drinking water. And they gave him the water, and they and he said, what's happening? And so they said, what's happening? He said, I'm kind of lost. And then by just drinking that water, he went into a blissful sleep. And in the sleep, he's remembering the Lord. And he's seeing, as if he's seeing Lord Ramchandra and Sita Devi. And when he wakes up, he finds himself in the outskirts of Kachi. And he could only imagine that this was a miracle when the Lord himself and his consort Sita Devi came and held his hand, brought him to Kachi. So that was one of the pastimes. Now he then became disciple of a messenger, a person from Srirangam, and Yamunacharya. So he came along just begging some alms, and he realized that this man is from Srirangam. He's a very exalted devotee, and he requested, could I be your disciple? And I'm just going to finish off with this pastime, that he his guru was dying, and the messenger came from Srirangam that, you know, your guru wants you. And by the time Sri Ramanujacharya reached Srirangam, he had already left his body. But he has left his body in a yoga posture. So the left hand was like that, and the right hand was clenched with fist. So sitting with him, he realized that his guru wanted three things to be done, his three wishes or desires to be fulfilled. And the first one was that he said, I will protect the people in general who are deluded by the impersonalism by bestowing upon them the nectar of surrender at the lotus feet of Narayan. So his guru's one finger opened. Then he said that for the well-being of people, I will prepare a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that will establish the Supreme Personality as the reality. And the second finger opened. And then finally he says, in the order to honor Parashar Muni, who in ancient time established the relationship between jivas, I shall name one of my disciples who is greatly learned and devoted after him. And his third finger opened. So everybody realized that Sri Ramacharya is the right person to follow in his guru's footsteps, and he was then made to lead the Sri Sampradaya. So we know that this exalted personality, we have heard about him, and obviously we read a lot about him. But as I said to you earlier, we have Mahatmas between us. We just have to recognize them. We have to appreciate them. And more importantly, we have to appreciate our relationship with them. In their lifetimes, we don't have to wait to glorify them later on. Take as much association by either Vapu or Vani, but more importantly through our peers. So my request on this day to all of us is that we pray intensely, we petition the Lord, and if we do it by genuine desire, then the Lord will reciprocate. I'm going to leave this point in a very optimistic note, that we are always very hopeful, we are always very positive, and we will accept nothing else but a fantastic result. So long we are all focused on that, so long all we are praying, the Lord will and will have to reciprocate to our pleas. Just to conclude, we talked about the verse, and we talked about ourselves, we talked about self-realization. So we said, what is in it for us? Well, if we do realize that we are not this body and we are this spirit soul, the anxiety on a day-to-day level and the fear on the day-to-day level reduces. We also understand why is it happening to me, or why is it happening to somebody else. And we also realize that this is not, the suffering is just part of the deal. It is not, doesn't have to be taken too seriously, because it is not affecting our soul, affecting our real self. That doesn't mean that we don't look after our body, but at the same time, we don't have to take it too seriously. I think we take life too seriously, and I'm the first one to be guilty of that. But I think if we realize that we are not this body, there's no seriousness involved. We should be always happy. That's the nature of the soul. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.